My name is Mark Abbey, and last month I went on a medical mission trip to Villa de San Francisco, Honduras. I traveled with Latin American Missions, which is a group under the oversight of the elders of the Valdosta Church of Christ in Georgia. About 69 of us traveled there. This is a picture of our arrival at the Comayagua Airport in Honduras. This is my daughter-in-law, Brittany, and our son, Ryan. And on the right side is a banner that was displayed in the downtown of the village that we had the medical clinic in. This is a picture of the church property there in the village. This is where we conducted our clinic and all the activities took place that week. I'm going to introduce you to the different components of the medical team. 69 people from the States is a lot of people, and this will kind of help you understand how the group breaks down. There's the medical team. There were three physicians from the United States on the upper left-hand corner, Dr. Pennings from the Abedin, Virginia area, myself, and Drew Eason, who's from West Tennessee. And then on the right, we have Dr. Sylvia. So Dr. Sylvia is Honduran. She's a member of the church, and she drove 3.5 hours and took a week off to work with us in the clinic for the week. And then on the bottom, we had Tabitha, who's a nurse practitioner from the Chattanooga area, who had never been on a medical mission before. We have to work with translators, and so I had various translators through the week. So we have a lot of people from the States and also from Honduras who help us translate. Most of my week, the upper left-hand corner there, my translator was Luna, who was a high school student from the village there. She did a fantastic job. There are a lot of nurses that go with us from all over the States. We got Georgia represented there, South Carolina, Virginia, Texas. So the team really comes from a large area, and to me, it's just very reassuring to know how vast our fellowship is. It's very reassuring and very heartening. This is our daughter-in-law, Brittany, who is she's a nurse in McMinnville, and she was on the trip with us. And people ask me a lot, what exactly do you do there medically? So we do a lot of general medicine. We treat diabetes, high blood pressure, parasitic diseases, arthritis, headaches, a lot of different things, a lot of fungal skin infections, which are ubiquitous there. Somehow this year I ended up giving a lot of joint injections for different things. So we do a lot of general medical stuff. This year we had a chiropractor and a physical therapist from Florida who did some treatments. And then we have a guy from Hendersonville, Tennessee, who brings eyeglasses, and he runs an eye clinic there for us. This was Michael. Michael is a pharmacist. He owns some pharmacies in Central Tennessee, and he has never been on a medical mission before. And he was gold. He did a great job. And this is his team that support him in the clinic. You'll see in this picture, there's a lady on the left who is from the church in Oklahoma City. She's bilingual and does a lot of interpreting. In the middle there, you've got a veterinarian whose pharmacological knowledge was very helpful to us. And on the right, cut her off. There was a lady from the Carnes congregation that I met down there. So you meet a lot of people. The majority of the medical mission team is in this group is not involved in the medical aspect of the work. They do the more important work of evangelism. The medical team is simply the vehicle to show the love of Christ and deliver the gospel by members of the team from the evangelism team. So I'm going to introduce you to the evangelism team. So in the clinic, after people are seen and they get their medications, they have an opportunity to sit down and do a Bible study. We have a lot of teaching that goes on there. This is Brother Frank from Florida, who's a dynamic teacher. And then we have groups that go door to door, looking for people that want to do Bible studies. They go into the central area, to the parks and the public areas there, and try to engage people in Bible studies. We have Jason here, who's a coach in Oklahoma City. He's bilingual, and he takes a group of teens and young people, and they go into the schools there. And they engage people in the schools. They let them come in, and they talk about things. It's a very engaging type of environment. We have people on the maintenance team, our son Ryan there on the right, and then also Jason. And in between things, they make balloon animals for kids. We use the same space for morning devo, then it's the clinic, then it's where we have the evening service, then it's where we have the evening meal. So they're constantly turning over the same space for different uses. We have cooks. All the cooks are from Honduras who travel from miles away to cook for us. And they cook meals for 120 to 150 people in this little kitchen. And the food is very authentic. It's very good, very authentic. We have a nightly service with the Honduran ministers. And I think this is, to me, this is the money slide. This is the gold slide. So these are preachers from all over Honduras who travel to the clinic site. They minister at other Churches of Christ in Honduras. The guy on your upper left there is Marvin. Marvin was the minister at the Church of Gracias where we were last year. So he had a legitimate 7.5-hour ride to get to the clinic site where we worked. And he came and stayed for the week and worked. Most of these ministers trained at the School of the Americas, which is a preacher training college in Panama, which I had more time to talk about. It's very fascinating. But most of these people trained there, went back to their native countries, and are serving as ministers. And there's one guy in this picture who is from Nicaragua who rode a bus 15 hours to work with us in the clinic. So you put all these people together, we're not the Americans, we're the North Americans, they call us. You put the North Americans, you put the Hondurans that travel to the clinic, and also the people of the local congregation who work with us in the clinic. You put them all together, and this is the team, a very large team. The services are very interesting. The Church in Oklahoma City is a bilingual congregation, and they do all the music for us. And basically, the music is sung. You have two song leaders. You have an English and a Spanish song leader. You sing the verse first in English or Spanish, and then you sing it the other way. And it's a wonderful time to practice your Spanish and a wonderful time to fellowship. And then in songs where we have echoing, a lot of the echoing is done in English and then Spanish. So it's a very, very interesting and fun worship. This is a picture from the downtown. This is a beautiful little village in Honduras, some of the artwork in the downtown. This is John Farber. John Farber is the organizer of the group. He works for Latin American Missions, and he is the organizer in chief. The last night of the campaign, he takes us all out to dinner, and at that dinner, the local church presented us with these plaques, and you'll see 23 there in the upper left. There were 23 congregations from the United States that had members that were on this team, and so they sent a plaque home with each of us to give to our local congregation for thanking us for our participation in the mission, and this was very touching. The team impact. So metrics are not everything. The numbers are not that important, but they do tell a story. So we saw over about 1,000 patients. A lot of prescriptions were filled. The eye doctor saw about 700 people, a lot of glasses dispensed. There's a lot of overlap in that first and third number, a lot of people that are in both of those groups. But the point is, in a town of 10 to 15,000, we saw over 1,000 unique individuals that lived in that town. So it was very impactful. But the real impact is the spiritual impact. 279 Bible studies involved 362 students. And then the nightly meetings, they break down. There's a sermon that goes on for the adults. But at the same time, you have a new converts class going on. You have a teen class going on. You have a children's ministry class going on. So a lot of stuff going on at night. We close the clinic down about 4 o'clock. 4:30, we have our nightly activities. And then 6 o'clock, we have dinner and then head back to the hotel. The real impact, though, are the baptisms. We had 15 baptisms the week we were there. And there have been several baptisms since we left. I real quickly wanted to mention, most of my mission work the last 30 years has been done in Guyana. I did not travel there this year, but this is last year's group. And last year, you all donated money that I took with me, and we bought medications for that clinic. And I wasn't here last Mission Sunday, so I wasn't able to formally thank you all for that. You guys donated over $3,000 for me to buy medications for that clinic. If you're interested in this trip and being a part of this trip, or you want to learn more, there's a really good website to go to. And also this year, John started his own YouTube channel. So good places, good resources to go if you want to learn more about this trip. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. So unless you're visiting, you probably know that I don't really ever come up here. I'm doing this as a personal favor to Ethan Dudley, so if this ends up being terrible, I want you to direct all your criticisms over there. But anyway, so I'm reporting on the Mission Summer Series in Albania. For those of you who don't know, Albania is just there on the map. Most of the work takes place in the capital city of Tirana. So first, some more general details about the mission and how that looks. As many of you know, we do our work through the WEI, or World English Institute, materials, which help teach students English via the Bible and vice versa. The material covers, in a necessarily collapsed but still fully accurate way, pretty much the entire Bible story from creation all the way up until the resurrection. The advanced books later also dive into more deeper and complex issues for students who have made it that far. Basically, the way the whole thing works is with these one-on-one sessions that you can see in the pictures there, you just help the students read through the material. It lets them practice reading, speaking, grammar, and it opens the door for them to ask questions about the Bible, which they very often do. Yep, nope, wrong way. Hold on. Okay, this year specifically, across the 6 weeks, we had a total of 15 teachers from various congregations. From this congregation, myself and my father went. We also had 4 student interns from Harding University who helped teach and with various other things. We had a total of 44 students who registered, and 19 of which were returning students. And the thing about those returning students is that they usually already speak English very well. I mean, they may not remember the difference between a subordinating and coordinating conjunction, but raise your hand if you do. The point is they speak very well already, so when they come back like that, it's usually because they want to learn more about the Bible, so that's always rewarding to see. The picture may be way too small for you to tell, but in the picture there of the group this last time, on the bricks, there's writing. That's a little tradition that we have. If you go, you get to write your name on a brick. So as far as incentive to travel halfway around the world goes, get to write your name on a brick. An average day, we meet about 30 minutes before classes start in the morning at around 9:30 in the basement where we also hold the classes. During this time, we usually sing a few songs, have a quick lesson, and share some stories, most of which are more or less on topic. That gets everybody in the mindset to teach. On a normal day, you would have 5 students, 2 in the morning, and then 3 in the evening after lunch and a break. But it's not all work. Apart from teaching, we also go out, the team frequently goes out to eat together, and we take some trips. So if you went, you'd get to see some more of Albania than just the capital, which is nice. In the bottom picture there, you'll see we're actually all celebrating the 4th of July, which is shockingly a pretty big deal over in Albania. They like America very much. And honestly, that's about all I had. But real quick, I wanted to thank this congregation so much for all the support and prayers that you give for our churches and teams in Albania. And I ask that you continue praying for us. Thank you so much.
Very good, Daniel. But you know you're going to have to get up here more often now. That's what happens. I also wanted to say thank you, Maryville. I'll be talking about WEI, World English Institute, the ministry that is supported and sponsored here. And I will be talking about the mission trip in Romania and just a couple of other things real quick. And I'll be talking fast and clicking through the slides pretty quickly as well. But thank you, Maryville. It was brought to my attention that we've had many new members since the last time we've really had a World English Institute report. So just to fill you in on what the ministry does, it's a combination English grammar and Bible course. We teach the Bible one-on-one to students online. It takes about 10 minutes to grade and process a student. Sometimes it may take more, sometimes less. But that's about the average, and we have hundreds of students waiting to be claimed by teachers every day. And so we tell our teachers, you have to claim several to get 1 or 2 good ones, because they will drop out. And so you may claim 10 to get 2 good ones. And so that's just kind of how the ministry works. Teach WEI online. We have students from every country in the world. We have had students from every country in the world. Only one in all these years from North Korea, but we can still claim we got North Korea. 21,500 students register every month, and we average about 300 a day waiting to be claimed by a teacher. And we get those students claimed by our teachers before they are sitting on the student board waiting for more than 3 or 4 days. Many of you are teaching WEI, and we thank you, and you're doing a wonderful job, and the stories you tell me about your students are just wonderful. But if you have never done it, please consider becoming a WEI teacher. This is how you do it. Go to worldenglishinstitute.net, and there will be a link that says register as a teacher. You can do that there and look at all the work that we're involved in all over the world. Okay, the Romania trip this summer. Oradea, Romania, that's a picture of the city. It's a beautiful old Eastern European city. That's the square downtown. And our WEI short-term mission there, we had 4 teachers who studied for 4 weeks. And When you add it all up, about over 360 hours of Bible studies were conducted with about 20 students, 20 to 24 students this summer. This is the WEI team, the three teachers from California, from Fresno, California, came and joined the team. The guy that you see on your right, at the front of the picture is Vasile Iuhoș. He is the evangelist there, a Romanian evangelist. And so that's the team sitting on the porch of the Oradea church house. This is what it looks like, and you saw from Daniel's, it's the exact same thing that we do in Toronto, we did in Romania. Our mission was a little smaller than theirs, but I just wanted to show you some pictures of what it looks like. So I want you to be thinking about going. And I know I've got some people that have talked to me about it, and it is an incredible experience. You just sit across from a student, you take them through the material. You don't have to be an English teacher, you don't have to speak English well. And so they just want to hear you talk, and you talk about the stories that they read from the Bible. This is John, another teacher, with his student. Debbie, she's a fantastic teacher, with her student there. And I wanted to share with you very quickly. So I had a WEI student, and a guy, when he was 13 years old, he was my student. That's a little young. We like him a little older than that. Incredibly intelligent guy. And so this would have been back in 2010. He was my WEI 13-year-old student. And just asked the best questions. And I remember thinking at the time as we were finishing up, and he had so many good questions, I remember thinking, when he gets a little bit older, we've got to follow up on him. He's still a little bit too immature to fully understand what it would mean to become a Christian. Well, he got to be 29 years old, hadn't heard from him in all those years. And he started asking the big questions of life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's going to happen to me after I die? And he remembered that little church that taught him the Bible when he was 13 years old. And he made his way back there and started studying the Bible again at 29 years old with Vasile. And just a few months ago, he accepted Christ and was baptized into Christ and has become a member of the church there. This is his baptism, Cătălin Hețegan, buried with Christ, 16 years after studying WEI. But WEI was his first contact with God and Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. And so it was just a beautiful story. You online teachers, when you have a student that's interested, don't give up on them. They may stop sending in their lessons, but then 5-6 years later, you'll hear from them again, and they'll come back, and they'll want to know more about God. And this is Cătălin being raised to a new life. So that was a special thing that happened as a result of a WEI study. I wanted to mention also very quickly that we are sponsoring a new mission family church in Sibiu, Romania. He is Romanian. His name is Claudiu Murteaza, and his wife Anca and their children Rebecca and Ionis. And they are serving a growing church family in Sibiu, Romania. This is Claudiu. What a beautiful family. Keep telling me they need to be on the cover of a magazine or something. It's just gorgeous. And they're gorgeous in spirit as well. It's just a beautiful family. This is the church. I went to the church this summer in Romania to announce to the church that we were picking up their sponsorship. They lost their support from a church in Texas that had financial difficulty, and they were desperately needed somebody to continue supporting them, and I went to announce that. What a wonderful thing to do, because they were all so thrilled. And that Sunday that I was there, they had a single mom who had been visiting with her teenage children for about 3 months. That Sunday that I was there, she decided to put on Christ in baptism. And so I took some pictures of that beautiful event, opportunity, and scene there. And this is her being raised to newness of life. I tried to remember her name. I just met her one day, and I'm getting old, and I forgot her name, but a beautiful new sister in Christ. So please consider teaching on a WEI short-term mission. You can go for 2 weeks, or you can go for 4 weeks. It's normally June through August every year in Albania and Romania, and the mission committee has budgeted money to help our members travel. So if you have financial concerns there, we can help. We can help you get there. If you want to share the gospel and Jesus with other people, we can help do that. Last thing I wanted to mention is we received a very generous contribution and for the purposes of a mission. And so we are right now seeking out a location where there is not a Church of Christ. And we think we found a city in Chisinau, Moldova. And we're seeking out a couple of families that we can support and sponsor to go to this, to a city anywhere in the world. Chisinau is just one that we're looking at right now, to plant a church and bring the gospel and the kingdom of heaven opportunity to these people who where there a Church of Christ does not exist. So please be praying about that. We are so grateful for the beautiful hearts here, giving hearts that give to missions. And so now, Travis, I think you're up. He's going to talk about the mission camp in Albania this summer.
Well, I am already encouraged. I love this Sunday. I love getting to hear some of these reports. I also love the passage that was read for us to start off by Oliver. This is from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, and we're going to talk more about this passage tonight. But it says, this mystery, and Paul's talking specifically about the mystery of the gospel, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. So the mystery is that the Gentiles, which a perfectly legitimate translation of the Greek word Gentiles is also the word nations. It's like that the nations are all one family, one body, one kingdom through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus became king, he invited the whole world into this one family. And when we have Sundays like today, we are actually celebrating the central idea of the mystery of what the gospel is all about. That the world has been united, and I am so thankful for the work that everyone who spoke here has been engaged in, but I'm so thankful for the work that all of you are engaged in. That's why this is possible. You're contributing to the most important work on the face of this earth through the bringing of the gospel to the nations around us, and so we can't thank you enough. And my family and I specifically want to offer our thanks for the opportunity to go to Albania and to work with the Bunets Christian Camp that they have there. This is a 3-week camp. We were there for the first week of it, and just yesterday they finished up the third week of it. But it's one of the most encouraging, spiritual, and uplifting weeks of our year, and it is for so many who go there. And there's a tremendous amount of growth that not only happens at camp, but also, it happens throughout the year, and then you get to see it when you go to the camp. This is a picture of the camp that we, or the group that we were with while we were there. This is right on the coast in southern Albania. These are some of the workers and the staff that are there. These are people who use their vacation time to come and to work and to labor and to teach and to do a tremendous amount to make this camp work and to make it possible. This is not a place where you go to and there's already cabins set up and there's already, functioning bathrooms and kitchens and things like that. Everything has to be built before camp starts. You have to build your own kitchen out of a tent and put burners in there, and you have to, everyone sleeps in tents, and in the bathrooms and the showers and the plumbing and all of that is dug and is prepared in this field that's near the sea. And so, I mean, weeks leading up to it, like all year long, really, it takes maintenance and it takes work to make this happen. And here are some of the people who voluntarily use their own time to make it happen. And the reason they do that is because they love it. And they see the tremendous value in it. And they see people grow from it. When I go and I talk to people in Albania about how they became a Christian, it is amazing to me how often you hear WEI mentioned, which has already been addressed, but it is also incredible to me how often this camp is mentioned. So many people hear the gospel and accept the gospel while here. This is Chimmy. This is Anila. They work with the church in Durres. He is the director of the camp, but they do so much there for it. This is Jafar, and he is one of the most talented chefs you'll ever meet in your life. He's the preacher for the church in Palichan. He and his wife, Tatiana, and their son, Arild, and Anissa, his wife, and their kids, they all come to the camp. They are some of the hardest workers you will ever meet in your entire life. When I tell you that the kitchen is a tent, It's over 100 degrees every day, and he has gas burners inside this tent cooking this food. We haven't had a fire, but it is the hottest place you will ever stand in your life, and he stands in there. He does it for 3 weeks in a row, making the food, and it is unbelievably good. I love Jafar, and I love the work that he does, and the church in Polychon is doing tremendous things. They bring such a big youth group to the camp every time. This is Dea, this is Clea and Clyde, some people we've become very good friends with. They've been at the camp every year. This is Michaela. She is one of the junior counselors who there. She stayed in Tacoma, Washington for almost a year last year, and our church sent a package to her while she was there, to encourage her during her stay in the U.S., let her know we were thinking about her and praying for her. We also did that for Samuel, who's now a student at Oklahoma Christian, but that's Chimmy and Neela's son. So we've made contacts that the Lads to Leaders group and others at this church have helped try to build some of those relationships as well. Camp starts. We usually have breakfast and a morning devotional. This is Lee Allen. It's kind of hard to see, but many of you know Lee Allen leading a morning devotional. This is Lee. Every time he has a conversation with anybody, it turns into an opportunity for the gospel to spread and an opportunity for Bible study and for prayer. And this is him after talking with some of the boys there at the camp, having a prayer together with them. This is one of our singing services. These are some of the sports that are played there. We play volleyball, we play soccer, or if anyone from there is listening, football. And I'm sorry that I said soccer. I don't try to be offensive, but that is our word. They love playing sports. In fact, one of the ministries taking place right now that many churches are involved in Albania is basketball. Basketball has been rising in popularity quite a bit. In several of the churches, the ministers and different workers for the churches have become basketball coaches, and kids from the community have joined, and they play basketball, but they also get to know the church family. They also get to hear, get invited to camp. They also get to hear the truth. There have been 6 baptisms from basketball that have been taking place, and including parents of some of the kids who have been joining. And so some wonderful things are taking place there. These are some of the Bible classes that we have throughout the day. We studied the life of Joseph, so each new day covered a different section of his life. This is Lauren's class that she was teaching. She did a phenomenal job, by the way. But this is her teaching a group. She has a translator, and most of the kids there can also speak English pretty well. There's only a couple of them that you probably need the translator for, but a wonderful experience. Then usually at nights I would get up, or every night I would get up, and I would preach about something from that section of the life of Joseph. That's always a wonderful time. And that's Chimmy, who is translating for me right there. Of course, the most important time of the day is nap time, where you find a nice spot under a tree, and the hottest part of the day, and a lot of people would take a little nap right there. And I tell you, it's a pretty nice nap. Actually, probably not the most important part of the day. Getting to know and spend time with the kids, getting to build these relationships are some of the most special things that we do. That girl who's holding up the peace sign is Amaris. She's been there every year that we've been there, and we've been able to see her grow, and every year you could tell how much she's maturing. In fact, this year, she was one who went down to the water and was baptized. During our camp session, we had 3 who were teenagers who were baptized. And then in the weeks of camp since then, we've had a total of 13 baptisms. I have here some of the congregations represented, and there have been more since then that you can add to this list. But it is a very special week. It is a productive week. It is a week where people grow closer to God, and it's a week that we are so very thankful to be able to be a part of. Paul uses these words in the book of Philippians to thank the church for their participation in the gospel, and I want to use some of these same words that he uses. I want to thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I think that can be said for every mission activity that we are engaged in throughout the year. You are partners, participants. You have fellowship in each of those works because of your participation in the gospel. And I am sure of this, and I want you all to know this also, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is actually the one who is at work through all the things that are taking place, and God's work will not return void, but will be brought to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. If you're looking for ways that you can continue to engage and encourage and participate in the gospel through these mission efforts, here's a couple of things for you to consider. One, continue praying for the missions activities of this congregation. Continue to encourage and to be thankful and to recognize the good that takes place through the mission efforts of this church. It is central to the gospel itself. Through your generosity and your financial giving, it helps make these things possible. And then also, I would encourage you to participate. Participate in WEI. Participate on a trip. Participate in different ways that you can get actively, personally involved in the missions of the church. And the most important thing you can do is accept the mission yourself. Accept what Jesus is offering yourself. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to become a Christian and enter into that one worldwide united family of God, please let that be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.